Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Nahum chapter 2. Nahum chapter 2, this is God's word. "An attacker advances against you, Nineveh. Guard the fortress, watch the road, brace yourselves, marshal all your strength. The Lord will restore the splendor of Jacob like the splendor of Israel, though destroyers have laid them waste and have ruined their vines. The shields of his soldiers are red, the warriors are clad in scarlet, the metal on the chariots flashes on the day they are made ready. The spears of pine are brandished. The chariots storm through the streets, rushing back and forth through the squares. They look like flaming torches. They dart about like lightning. He summons his picked troops, yet they stumble on their way. They dash to the city wall. The protective shield is put in place. The river gates are thrown open and the palace collapses. It is decreed that the city will be exiled and carried away. Its slave girls moan like doves and beat upon their breasts. Nineveh is like a pool, and its water is draining away. Stop, stop, they cry, but no one turns back. Plunder the silver, plunder the gold. The supply is endless, the wealth from all its treasures. She is pillaged, plundered, stripped. Hearts melt, knees give way, bodies tremble, every face grows pale. Where now is the lion's den, the place where they fed their young, where the lion and lioness went, and the cubs with nothing to fear? The lion killed enough for his cubs and strangled the prey for his mate, filling his lairs with the kill and his dens with the prey. I am against you, declares the Lord Almighty. I will burn up your chariots in smoke, and the sword will devour your young lions. I will leave you no prey on the earth. The voices of your messengers will no longer be heard. Woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims. The crack of whips, the clatter of wheels, galloping horses and jolting chariots, charging cavalry, flashing swords and glittering spears, many casualties, piles of dead, bodies without number, people stumbling over the corpses, all because of the wanton lust of a harlot, alluring, the mistress of sorceries, who enslaved nations by her prostitution and peoples by her witchcraft. I am against you, declares the Lord Almighty. I will lift your skirts over your face. I will show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. I will pelt you with filth. I will treat you with contempt and make you a spectacle. All who see you will flee from you and say, 'Nineveh is in ruins. Who will mourn for her? Where can I find anyone to comfort you?' Are you better than Thebes, situated on the Nile with water around her? The river was her defense, the waters her wall. Cush and Egypt were her boundless strength. Put and Libya were among her allies. Yet she was taken captive and went into exile. Her infants were dashed to pieces at the head of every street. Lots were cast for her nobles, and all her great men were put in chains. You too will become drunk. You will go into hiding and seek refuge from the enemy. All your fortresses are like fig trees with their first ripe fruit. When they are shaken, the figs fall into the mouth of the eater. Look at your troops. They are all women. The gates of your land are wide open to your enemies. Fire has consumed their bars. Draw water for the siege. Strengthen your defenses. Work the clay, tread the mortar, repair the brickwork. There the fire will devour you. The sword will cut you down and like grasshoppers consume you. Multiply like grasshoppers, multiply like locusts. You have increased the number of your merchants till they are more than the stars of the sky, but like locusts they strip the land and then fly away. Your guards are like locusts, your officials like swarms of locusts. They settle in the walls on a cold day, but when the sun appears, they fly away, and no one knows where. O king of Assyria, your shepherds slumber. Your nobles lie down to rest. Your people are scattered on the mountains with no one to gather them. Nothing can heal your wound. Your injury is fatal. Everyone who hears the news about you claps his hands at your fall. For who has not felt your endless cruelty? May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Folks, that's the end of the chapter. That's the end of the book. This is a prophecy concerning Nineveh, and it is not a call for Nineveh to repent. It is a statement of God's decreed judgment, and it should serve as a warning to people all over the earth. And that would include us in this nation. Sometimes when we try and apply the scripture to our national affairs, people want to remind me that the United States is not Israel. I know that. I fully know that. I totally agree with that. Let me point out something else. Assyria was not Israel. And God had a word for Assyria. And God had a word for Egypt. And God had a word for Babylon. God doesn't just have a word for Israel. But aren't you trying to apply scriptures for ancient peoples to us today? Yes. Not by pretending that we are them, but by understanding what happened to them, because the Bible tells us in the New Testament that all these things were written for our instruction, that we're supposed to learn from the past. If you study history, there are lessons you can learn about how things work. There are principles that are observable in nature and impressed on us through the Word of God. For example, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So when we plant corn, I don't wonder if we're going to get wheat back instead. And if you and I refuse to yield our lives to God, but instead want to be our own boss, I can guarantee you on the basis of God's word that the outcome is going to be destruction. Because that's what God promises. And God always keeps his promises.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Now Nineveh was the impressive force of its day. It was mighty. It was this capital city of the Assyrian Empire, and the rulers of Assyria had not just conquered the surrounding areas, they tormented them. I mean, they were vicious. They were cruel. The violence was epic. Guess what? God doesn't like that. And God had called them to repentance generations before, and the repentance was brief. It did not last. And as a result, God says to his people who were suffering oppression, don't be afraid, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to destroy them. And if you just looked at circumstances at the time of Nahum's life, it would have been a hard message to believe. It's like, well, I don't see that. We've been praying for God to deliver us for a long time. I just don't get it, God. Why do you let the Assyrians do what they're doing? And God says, it's temporary. It's a temporary problem. It's all going to change. You know, for me, a temporary problem is something that lasts about 5 minutes. All right? After that, I start to feel like this could be permanent. Most of us do not endure the kind of stuff that most people in the world today are experiencing. Most of us haven't got a clue about what most Christians through the last 2,000 years have gone through for the sake of the gospel. We live in such a bubble here in the United States. And let me tell you, I like the bubble, I got to tell you, all right? I'm not complaining. I'm not saying, oh, God, please send persecution. I'm not praying that, okay? But I'll tell you, living here in this artificial situation, this temporary thing, we think that comfort is the norm, that prosperity is the norm, and that anybody who doesn't have what we've got is kind of freakish. You know, oh, look at those people in that country. They're so poor. Wow, then I went to that country. They were poor too. And then I went to that country. They were poor too. Let me tell you, we're not just rich. We're obscenely rich. Pastor, what are you against materialism? And yes. Are you against prosperity? No. Are you saying it's wrong to be rich? No. I'm saying it's wrong not to be using our wealth in order to advance the gospel around the world. God didn't give it to us so that we could make our pillows thicker. So, take a look at one of the things that God cites toward the end of this proclamation of judgment against Nineveh. Verse 16. Of chapter 3. You have increased the number of your merchants till they are more than the stars of the sky, but like locusts, they strip the land and then fly away. I just want to be clear about this. I think capitalism is the best economic model to help the largest number of people enjoy the greatest opportunity and prosperity. I am not a socialist. But that doesn't mean that capitalism is the supreme good. It's a good system because it is predicated on the sinful nature of man. It properly accounts, as does our separation of powers in this country, for the fact that basically people are not trustworthy. And the more you centralize power, the more problems you're going to have. But I want you to understand this. Capitalism is not the supreme good. We need to be yielded to God in every area of our life, and that includes business and finance. And if you're yielded to God, you're not just concerned about what you can get out of a situation. You're concerned about what you can give back. And if capitalists properly understand a long-term view, they will understand that it is in their best interest long-term not to strip the land and exploit people. Because if you do that, what you leave in your wake is destruction, and sooner or later you run into the same problem that the socialists do. You have just created a mess for yourself and you don't have a remedy. Pastor Wood, this is a real stretch from Nahum, isn't it? Not really. Because I want you to see that the problem that God cites against Nineveh was not their wealth. He talks about their wealth, and he talks about the fact that their wealth is abundant, and he talks about the fact that their wealth is going to be plundered. But their wealth was not the problem. The problem was that they got wealthy by exploiting other people and exploiting the environment. The problem was not that they had a military. The problem was that their military was cruel, that their military was selfish, that their military was arrogant. That's a problem. It's not an anti-military prophecy. It's not an anti-money prophecy. It is a prophecy against those who use their wealth, natural resources, military might, in order to just enrich themselves and without regard for the suffering of others. Do you see the difference? Now, folks, we need to understand in this country that we're going to give an account, not because we're the new Israel, we're not. But we in this country are going to give an account to God for what we do with what we've got. And I don't know any country anywhere that's ever been more blessed than we've been. And to whom much is given, of the same shall much be required. So, what do we do? Well, if we lived in a dictatorship, then I'd have to say, God, you know, I'm really sorry about what's going on with our government, but what can I do? But we don't live in a dictatorship. We live in a democratic republic where those of us who reach voting age are responsible for what we do with our vote. And if we are uninformed voters, we're bad stewards of what God's given us. If we don't know what the politicians stand for and what they have done in their history, don't just go by their words, go by their deeds. And if what they do doesn't line up with what they say, this much you can know about them. They're liars. We not only need to be informed voters, we need to be voting voters. Not only that, but we need to have a hierarchy of what matters to us. Let me give you just a couple of examples. These are issues of our day. Economics. How important is economics? Well, I care about it. I mean, the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and if we're supposed to be good stewards, then I think economics are important. What about the environment, the natural environment? Well, I think yes. I mean, right here, God was upset because these people were destroying the land and leaving destruction in their wake, and I think we ought to care about the environment. Well, good, okay. What about national defense? Well, I don't know. I think we spend an awful lot of money on national defense. I'm not saying how much money we spend on it. I'm talking about how important is it? Oh, okay, national defense is important. It is important. By the way, read Romans 13. When the Bible talks about what the government's responsible for, doesn't mention education, does talk about protecting its citizens with the sword. What about roads and infrastructure? Well, yeah, I saw that one thing where people were going across a bridge and the bridge collapsed. I didn't like that. I think the government ought to keep that up. Okay. How does that compare to national defense? Well, I don't want them bombing our bridges. That's true. Okay. So national defense, here's what I'm saying. You and I have to realize the government can't do everything. Right now, the government can't even pay its bills without printing more funny money. And so we need to begin to prioritize and say, this matters, even more than this matters, and this matters even more than this matters. And let me tell you something. Because some of us who realize the limits of government and recognize the threats against our country are concerned that not everybody in America shares our social values. You know what I mean? Those social issues, things like abortion, gay marriage, stuff like that. Maybe we ought to just leave those things alone. Well, let's see. Look at Nahum chapter 2, verse 13. You know why Nineveh was in trouble? It wasn't because they'd let their military get weak. They had a really good military. That's what chapter 2 is about. Well, I thought he said their military was just a bunch of women. Is that a thing about not having women in the military? No, that's not what it's about. He's saying, and ladies, please don't be offended by this, but he's saying their soldiers are really going to be just a bunch of girls. It is an historical, observable, documentable, biological fact that guys are generally bigger, stronger, and faster than women. That is not a chauvinistic statement. It is a scientific statement. And therefore, when it comes to being the soldiers who wield the sword and fight, it is not a good thing if your guys perform like gals. That's what that was about. But the reason that Nineveh was in trouble is not because they had a female army. The reason that their men were all going to do badly in battle is because of what it says in verse 13 of chapter 2. I am against you, declares the Lord Almighty. I am against you. Do you know the greatest threat to America's prosperity? The greatest threat to America's military security? The greatest threat to our environment? The wrath of God. That's what. And if our country persists in electing leaders who delight in mocking the Word of God and despising God's commands, I can guarantee you something based on God's Word. God in His time will say, time's up. And if you thought Katrina was bad, if you thought that the earthquake and the tsunami in Japan were scary stuff, I don't want us to pick a fight with God. And God does get angry. And He does say to nations that are not Christian, and we're not, I'm against you, declares the Lord Almighty. I will burn up your chariots in smoke, and the sword will devour your young lions, and I'll leave you no prey on the earth, and the voices of your messengers will no longer be heard. So if you're concerned about the future of our country, get right with God. I'm here to warn you that the only place of safety is in God. He's the only place to run to. And that's what it said in chapter 1 of Nahum. God is our refuge. He's our safe place. Our solution for our problems is not in a political party or in an economic system or in more military spending. Our solution is in God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else will be added to you. But if we persist in despising God and mocking Him, we're going to be toast. So get ready. Right now, the outlook is stormy. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ.
If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.